This is CliffCentral.com.
All right. Koliswa Diosiba and Charity Maipa are here with us in the studio. Welcome, ladies. What a pleasure to have you here. How lovely to see you. Let's give you the proper introduction. Nobody gets half measures on this show, especially scientists, and we're big fans of scientists. I know most people find this stuff nerdy and boring. We do not. We think it's fantastic, and it's the only way that we will find our position at the top of the world in terms of our contribution that not only we can make, but that we can take. We need to be proud of our scientists because we have so few of them, and we need to make sure there are more. So, there it is, the proper introduction. So, ladies, let's first start off with Charity. I'm fascinated by this idea that you can make water filters out of modified millicobs. How does that work?
Huh? Hey, Clara.
How are you?
Cliff. Fine, thanks. And you?
Good. So, a millicob.
Yeah. So, you can imagine your maize plant. Mm-hmm. You take out the mealies and mm-hmm. you have this waste material that remains that nobody really wants, so it ends up in the dump fields. Mm-hmm. So our interest was in taking the tip part of the maize tassel, mm-hmm. And we modify it and add some very small materials, silver nanoparticles to be specific, mm-hmm. and we then fine-tune it in such a way that it helps us to target specific organophosphates or pesticides in your everyday language from water.
All right, so I understand that silver and some silver compounds are very good disinfectants, mm-hmm. right? They take out biochemicals that might be toxic and dangerous. Mm-hmm. But why the mealy? What does the mealy add to it?
The mealy acts both as an adsorbent mm-hmm. and a support for the silver nanoparticles.
Wow.
So while the silver nanoparticles are going to act on the pesticides or organophosphates mm-hmm. itself, then you have this support as well, which is the maize tassel, which also helps us a great deal because we, for the loading of or decorating of the maize tassel with the silver nanoparticles is not something that you just take the silver and put it on. Mm-hmm. There's a structural understanding of the maize tassel itself, which you need to get to understand, and then look at the chemical relationship between the two. So the maize tassel also helps in getting us that silver into that level of nano that we want, that will be able to then at that level be active to be able to degrade the contaminants.
Does it have a very porous surface area? Does
Definitely.
It have a large absorption
yes.
surface?
Yes.
That kind of thing.
And that's what we're looking at. And okay. the structure itself, if you go into the structural or the chemical properties of that material as mm-hmm. well, it acts as, firstly, we needed to determine the relationship between the maize tassel mm-hmm. structure mm-hmm. and the silver itself. The silver doesn't come already as nanoparticles, so you have the silver as in its compound form. So we need to
What kind of compound do you use?
Silver nitrate
okay.
is the one. You can use others, but for my system, the silver nitrate worked best. And because also it's easier to deal with the nitrates than it is to deal with, say, your chlorides.
Okay. And of yes. course, it's fairly inert. It's not massively reactive except to light. Right?
Yeah. And meaning the silver.
The silver part. Yeah.
Yeah, well,
I mean, silver compounds like silver nitrate are photosensitive.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So what then happens is we first understood the structural and chemical relationship between the two of them, mm-hmm. found the best condition when we synthesized them to say, okay, we now have these two materials having a relationship. Mm-hmm. And how I found that they are having a relationship is via various techniques that we have at our center at the CSIR, which where I'm also a technician there. So I then look at what is the relationship between these materials using my microscope, electron microscope, and various other microscopes.
So see, she's the microscopist.
Microscopist.
Yes, it's a big word.
There we go.
It's a big word.
What does that milli structure look like under a microscope? Is it like honeycomb? What does it look like?
It looks like it's a fiber. You think of...
What can we compare it to that we see in real life? Like lots and lots of bamboo growing in a huge clump. Would it look like a sponge?
A sponge would be more like it, but with various patterns on
okay.
it. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I'll just tweet a picture of
okay,
one picture
great.
Of it, and I'll tag you so that you guys can actually get to see the not only the maize tassel and the silver, because with my microscope, my electron microscope,
I can see very small things.
I can actually see where is my silver decorated.
Wow.
As well.
So, Charity, what is the end goal here in terms of the problems that you're trying to solve? What will you be able to do with this discovery that you have made?
Okay, with growing industries, especially my target is agricultural industry, there's a huge demand on crop, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Then that means more pesticides are being used. Although previously we've moved away from the chlorine-based pesticides to organophosphates because they are better. They don't persist so much in the environment. But someone has to deal with them, has to remove them, because even at their acute levels, they are still dangerous to our bodies.
And could we use this for water filtration?
Yeah, column systems. Or like my bigger idea is to end up having it the maize tassel and the silver components in like say a tea bag which you can put inside the bath or water that is contaminated, shake it for a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
And then that because you want to keep you don't want to let go of the material, because the filtration also ends up being expensive because of the energy that will be required in maintaining those and the power that you need to get the water flowing and stuff like that. So if you have the water in a system that you can take out, put in there, shake for a while, and then remove that, then you've deactivated most of the organophosphates, and you still have your material intact, which then allows it to also be reusable.
That sounds it sounds brilliant. It sounds like you're solving very obvious and practical problems.
Yeah.
Now, what else can you see under that electron microscope? That must be an amazing thing to work.
Yeah, it
it's
is.
It's a huge piece of
her face
exciting.
Lights up.
I get excited every day.
So how good are electron microscopes now? I mean, to what level of detail can we see? Can we actually see molecules?
Yes.
Wow.
We see molecules, and with some of our electron microscopes, like the TEM transmission ones, we can actually see it up to an atomic level.
Good.
So interesting. And
good
I'll take some of the pictures
please.
That my colleague has
this
taken.
This is fascinating. You know, up to, 10 years or so, not even 5 years ago, this was all still theoretical. You'd have people drawing a picture of what they thought a certain organic molecule looked like. Now we can actually see them.
Yes, and it's very important, Gareth, because, you know, which is a huge role that I play as a technician as well. We have all these people, all of us, it's a research institution, they make material and they come and say, hey guys, I've put some silver and iron together. I've managed to synthesize them and find conditions that have them having a good relationship or being, for the first time, I was able to put them together.
And a new alloy.
A new alloy, yes.
Yeah.
So, and I get to be that one who gets the material and check for them.
And you're looking for consistency, you're looking for charge relationships, all that kind of thing.
I also, the interesting thing is the microscope allows you to see those things. So if you're saying I've tested and they look like they have a relationship, I get to see that relationship, okay? I get to see there is the iron and there is the silver inside or outside. Or is the relationship one whereby the iron is over there and the silver is sitting over there, which then all those things make up research. They make up science, because at the end of the day, they tell the story. So I sit at the microscope and see what do this material even look like. Are they flowers? Because we do make flowers. We make nano flowers.
Yes.
And nano everything. So that is the microscopes allowed us to tap into the nanotechnology
and nano,
world.
Nano is a measurement. It's 10 to the minus 9, right?
Yes.
So it's the smallest. If you take a millimeter, a nanometer is then 10 to the minus 9 of a millimeter.
Yeah. So you chop a millimeter line a millionth times. You get a nanometer, and that's the scale where I work in. So I get, we get, you know, as scientists also, we want to have control. We want to know that our systems are controlled. If I've changed a certain parameter, hoping to get a certain structure, am I getting that structure? And as a microscopist, then I get to say that, well, you've made flowers, but they are still mixed with some rods, or you've made perfect flowers or perfect rods. And each and every parameter is important because it say something about that application of that material. It
must be amazing. You could see like all the things that we always have to imagine in models, you can actually see with your eyes. Yes, you can look down that electron microscope, you look at that screen, and you could see a DNA molecule.
Yeah.
Must be spectacular.
Yes.
I mean, the tiny is like the enormous, because at that level, it's like looking into the universe.
Yes.
Must be spectacular.
You've just described it well. It's how I feel, actually, when I'm working.
It's exciting stuff, right?
I get to that level where I see myself as this photographer of molecules.
And you can see what diseases look like. You can see what human cells look like. You can see amazing cells, levels of detail.
Yes. It's just that our science is, our part is not more on the health, but I've done human cells before. Right. I've done some cell studies before.
You're more interested in chemistry.
We are more in materials.
Okay.
And, but we open to the public as well. Our center is open to the public as well.
That's at the CSIR?
At the CSIR, yes. Wow. At the Nano Center. That's where we are based.
All right. Charity, otherwise I'm going to feel like I'm not giving Koliswa the amount of attention she deserves. Sorry, Koliswa. You just threw her arms up in complete disgust.
No, I didn't.
So listen, you're doing wonderful stuff. You're also at the CSIR. You're a chemical engineer.
Yes.
And you are working with hydrogen and hydrogen power.
Hi, Gareth.
How are you?
I'm meeting you.
I'm so happy to meet you. What are you talking about? I don't, to me, scientists are celebrities.
Mm. Really?
Because, yes, the work you're doing is far more important being on TV or being on radio or any of that stuff. So with hydrogen power, this could unlock resources that are sustainable for us. It could become, and the power cells could be tiny. This could be the solution to all of our problems in terms of power generation. So hydrogen is the smallest, it's the most simple molecule. Most simple atom. It's got one proton, one electron, sometimes one neutron, depending on what kind of hydrogen we're dealing with. How do you release power from this gas in its
hydrogen.
H2 form?
Well, what's interesting, can I just brief introduction?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Of course. Go for it.
So I work at the CSIR, currently studying my PhD, doing research in the use of hydrogen as a fuel instead of our conventional fossil
coal
fuels.
And diesel
coal,
and petrol.
Diesel, petrol, and all those. So hydrogen on its own, it has a very high energy density, which people do not know, but it's quite difficult to harness that. So you would never get hydrogen as a molecule. So you'd have to get an electrolyzer, for example, where you split the H2O and you get the hydrogen and oxygen.
That's because hydrogen is very reactive.
It's very,
very flammable.
Yes, it always attaches itself to something. So once you get the hydrogen, you would then use a fuel cell.
So you want hydrogen gas?
Yes.
That's what you want,
yes,
H2.
Yes. H2. So we store, I actually work for a group called HISA, which is Hydrogen South Africa. We work closely with the Department of Science and Technology, where we study different materials to store the hydrogen. Because you can imagine it's a gas.
And it's explosive.
It's explosive. It fills large volumes. It's a gas. It always wants to attach to something.
Let's just remind everybody, too, that when you're working with gases, usually you would compress those gases to liquid. Now, hydrogen has a very, very, very low melting point, right?
It liquefies at around minus 270 something degrees Celsius, which is like the temperatures of liquid nitrogen or less.
Yeah.
You know, but it has such
close
energy.
To absolute zero.
Yes. It has so much energy that it's actually used to fuel rockets in its liquid form. So what we're trying to do is move away from storing it in the compressed form, because you can imagine it's compressed at high pressures and
it's dangerous.
It's dangerous. So what we do is develop materials to store the hydrogen in a compact and safer manner.
What kind of storage are we talking about? What does it look like?
Adsorption. It would be a normal hydrogen tank, right, that's made from polymer composites. So you'd have, it's very lightweight.
Mm-hmm.
So we would have these materials, they're called metal organic frameworks. They powder powders,
mm-hmm.
but they have such large surface areas. If I take a gram of this material, it can actually cover 3 soccer fields.
Wow.
Yes, it has extremely large surface areas.
And the hydrogen gets attached
Adsorbed
to those areas?
Yes, right. Yes. They're very porous, they're very crystalline, and mm-hmm. they have extremely large surface areas. So what we do then is, through the process of adsorption, attach the hydrogen on those.
And how do you get the hydrogen out when you need it for fuel?
With adsorption, what's interesting is it's a surface phenomenon. It's not like there's no chemical reaction, so the material does not react with mm-hmm. with the hydrogen. It just stores it. Imagine a sponge.
Mm-hmm.
When you suck up water, you can just release the water again. It's not converted to anything.
You don't need to compress it physically?
No.
You don't need to heat it?
No. Those are different materials, metal hydrides.
So in other words, you store this hydrogen in a
yes.
canister with this polymer.
Yes, yes.
And it gets stored in between those molecules.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you need it, you just press the button and it releases.
Yes.
Huh.
It would be that simple.
And then we could power cars. We could power,
oh my goodness, almost anything. Because for me, the vision is taking this technology to places where there isn't a grid to begin with.
Mm.
So we could take it to, imagine mobile clinics in rural areas, you know,
yes.
where you would actually power an entire community's clinic using a fuel cell and a few hydrogen tanks.
Wow.
You know?
Isn't that cool? How close are we to developing this for commercial use?
It will take a while. Like any new technology, it will take a while. Still, we are still in the fundamental research stages, still developing the materials, making sure that they are reproducible, using Charity's electron microscope to see that we're preparing and synthesizing the correct materials. Then from there, we'll take it further.
All right.
But it will come.
I heard you weren't even a straight A student at high school.
I wasn't.
Look at her now.
There's still hope.
Were you just lazy because the brains are obviously there?
I wasn't. I don't know. I think there's something wrong with the system.
How did you and you, Charity, were you a straight A student?
Nope. No.
I love this. Yep. This, you see, there's hope for us B and yes. C students.
No, there is zero hope for you. For you and I and C, it's too late.
No. They're going to give me a chemistry quiz just now because we love the same stuff.
I can see that Gareth didn't miss much of his science classes.
I love this. Yeah. No, chemistry. Chemistry, I love.
Yeah.
So it must be exciting for you to be doing the stuff you're good at and to be able to make and to figure out and to research things that will make a difference for other people.
It's amazing.
Right?
It's amazing. Because I did my master's in water treatment. I was actually adsorbing or treating waters that have high levels of fluoride. Because you know you get that skeletal fluorosis where you get brown teeth.
And at times
it actually affects your bones.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it affects a lot of young kids. So...
Well, fluorine,
water energy.
Fluorine is what is a fascinating element. I mean, it's the most reactive of all the nonmetals.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really, I don't know if you've ever seen elemental fluorine, but it's like a pale yellow gas, but it reacts with everything, asbestos, charcoal, other gases, mm-hmm. Concrete, soil. It'll react with everything.
Yeah.
So it's not particularly pleasant stuff, and it's obviously very, very toxic.
Yeah.
Because it'll destroy your mucous membranes and all that sort of stuff.
Extremely toxic.
But in small amounts, in compound form, in water, it does help.
It's actually essential. It's essential. That's why we have it in our toothpaste, for example. We need a bit of fluoride, but too much can be detrimental, you know.
So you learned how to take the fluoride out. How did you do? What did you use for that?
Adsorbents. It was a polypyrrole aluminium oxide nanocomposite.
Right. So it was just something simple.
Oh, just one more time.
It was just something
simple. Say that again. I think I'm in love.
Let's just take it from the top.
Yes, girl. Yes.
Hey, who now?
That's so good.
Yeah, no, really. Are you
one of those people who, because the nomenclature around organic chemistry is very, very complex, and it took most of the scientists many, many years to decide what they're actually going to call things. So there's chains of carbon, and there's hydrogens, and there's oxygens, and there's nitrogens. I mean, can you name any molecule that she sees under the electron microscope? If you're given enough time, you'll name them all. Come on, why not? I think you probably could.
Okay.
I mean, not the very complex ones, like, let's say, where you have like a hormone, for example, or a some kind of lipid. You're not necessarily going to be able to, but you can name all the hydrocarbons, for example. You know how to. You could take all the carbons, add them up. You know what to call that. Then you add the hydrogens where you need to. You guys know what you're talking about. That must be, that's like speaking a language.
No, it really is a different language.
It's amazing. God, I could talk to you all day. This is so exciting. What's it like working at the CSIR?
It's amazing. I love it. I did my master's based at the university full time.
Mm-hmm.
Then I remember when I came in contact with the CSIR, I looked at the slogan, "Our Future Through Science," and I thought, oh my goodness, you know, this is where I need to be. And it's interesting, the actual name is Council for Scientific and Industrial Research. So for me, it was an opportunity to take my ideas further than, you know, the lab.
But what kind of facilities do they have there? They must have incredible facilities for you, because as a scientist, it's all good and well you have ideas, but you need to be able to do the research, to use the equipment, all that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
It is an absolutely great place to be. I've been there actually since my in-service training. I was very lucky to get into the CSIR, and I remember even the days of when I was still at school, I would make visits to the CSIR.
That electron microscope that you work on, what does it cost?
Mm.
Oh, you know what? We have various types, but we're sitting... my baby is about 13 million. It was 13 million when we bought it in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And currently, you can just imagine they are above that. And we have other more expensive ones. And
million is like the lowest.
No. That's my baby. That's the one I'm using. So you can...
Don't go near it.
You can still go
you.
To 20 millions. And you know, with the currency now from 2007 and now.
Yeah.
And obviously, other microscope, because we don't even have a lot of them in South Africa. So, the other people that are buying, they also, depends on what you want. You can have it being at the lowest and at the highest, depending on how many detectors you are attaching.
And which parts of the world are these microscopes coming from? Do you know? Like, which nations are responsible for constructing these?
Mine comes from Japan.
Oh, yeah.
It's a JOEL, so Japan Electron Optic Instrument.
Right.
And you also have a Zeiss. Zeiss is a common brand.
That's
on
German,
the lenses.
Right?
It's German. Yeah, so mostly Germany and the European.
The Germans and Japanese.
Yeah. Yeah. And UK. UK, we get most of our experts from there.
The next question is that Mabali and I were to come and visit the CSIR.
Because
she's a medical microbiologist.
No, but you know what? No.
No,
but I mean, in comparison to you two, I'm actually like entry-level stuff. Like, it's nothing, guys.
But you know?
The stuff that you do is astounding.
But you know what? This is what we were actually saying when we were on our way here, that... It is nothing like that. It is just like you guys having expertise what you do. This is what you guys know best. And for us, because science is all that we've been interested in, we know so much because we've always been interested in and we've always been in the field. So it is not something that you want to separate from other careers. In fact, we want more people to think of science as this
it's
cool thing.
It's an everyday thing.
Everyday life, how you how your accountant manages the finances of people. We manage or we look at how do we make people's lives better.
Yeah.
Oliswa and Charity, thank you so much for coming to spend some time with us this morning. Please keep up the good work. We're looking for that invitation to the CSIR.
Yes. You are most welcome. Thank you for having
us.
And thanks for coming through and keep up the good work. Let us know if there are any new developments. We'd love to talk to you again.
We shall.
All right. This is CliffCentral.com.